No one fights like Esdon. No one bites like Esdon. No one sucks a gigantic dick like Esdon.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a brand new Monday sode. Nope, he's not here, ladies and gentlemen. No Justin, no Loy Sauce.
He said that he sucked the blood from the penis and put the balls in his mouth.
Well, okay, we've got Justin on the soundboard, and of course we've got our god of podcasting on the soundboard, but I'm flying this one solo, ladies and gentlemen. Saucy got wasted. Apparently, Justin called me right after the Golden Globes had ended and told me the sauce got wasted. So Justin was going to join me, but unfortunately he is not. So I'm just flying solo. This is just going to be a quick reaction show to the 2020 Golden Globe Awards. Now, going into this year, usually we'll do like a whole ado about the Golden Globes. We will talk about the nominees. We'll talk about everything, like announced nominees. I didn't even know who was nominated. I had no idea who was even nominated in any of the categories. Now, I said over on Twitter, I was like, I bet you I could like make an educated guess and probably like 95% I would be correct. And, you know, the nominees that I assumed would be in most of these categories are, except for the two popes. I have no idea what that even is. I had never even heard of that before tonight. Yeah. So, well, I mean, Ricky Gervais, host. And a lot of people like to take the piss out of Ricky Gervais and say, oh, he doesn't do a good job hosting, or he's not a good host, or whatever the case may be. I don't necessarily think that. I think that Ricky Gervais specifically kind of likes to try to be a thorn in the side of the Hollywood elite. And as such, I think most of his jokes are tailored to that. Like, most of his jokes were what a lot of people would probably consider to be in really poor taste, if you take them that way. But I honestly think, like, how he made the joke that there were no female directors nominated, and he said, you know, they're just not going to hire women to direct films anymore instead, so that's going to solve the whole problem. You know, and I don't think that's him trying to be insensitive. I think it's him really trying to take the piss out of, like, people. Like, you know, you've got to include women in these categories, like Greta Gerwig for Little Women, who did a phenomenal job directing that film. There were a lot of amazing female fronted films this year, and it's really, really sad to see them shut out of the best director category. It's sad to see them shut out of a lot of different categories, you know, but we kind of got to deal with the award show as it was. But I liked Gervais overall, but I mean, I kind of watched the show with the same kind of attitude that he gave toward hosting the show. Like, he just didn't give a fuck. And I kind of like that he just didn't give a fuck, because we're the Epic Film Guys and we just don't really give a fuck either. You know how it is.
I just want you to get me drunk right now.
That's Loy Sauce was definitely, oh my god, I talked to Loy Sauce on the phone. He was so out of it.
That's a lot of cum.
Oh my lord, he was so out of it. It was absolutely amazing. But let's get into the proceedings here. This is going to be a relatively short Monday sode, and then coming up this Thursday, ladies and gentlemen, Best of the Decade, which I can't wait to record, even though I have not seen a film that will almost certainly factor into my list at some point. 1917 hasn't opened yet, even though it won Golden Globes for Best Director and Best Drama, but we're going to talk about that a little bit later. I'm going to start with the list at the bottom, and we're going to talk about Best Original Score. Now, this was the first solo female win for Best Score. Hildur Guðnadóttir won for Joker. It was a really, really great score. Joker picked up another award. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And I did love the score in that film, even though I was not a fan of that film at all. And she did an absolutely amazing job with that score. So congratulations to Hildur. Best Original Song went to I'm Gonna Love Me Again from Rocketman. Elton John and Bernie Taupin, of course, and Rocketman also picking up some more love a little bit later on in the ceremony, Missing Link won Best Animated Feature, which, I mean, from the nominees, I was kind of surprised to see. For all the touting and all the talk and everything about Lion King being live action, live action, live action, I love that it got nominated for Best Animated Feature, because it is. It's just animated and live action. I mean, it just is what it is. But yeah, Missing Link wins Best Animated Feature Film. Best Foreign Language Film. This was not a surprise to me whatsoever. I'm really not a surprise to anybody but Parasite. I also love Bong Joon-ho's acceptance speech about seeing past the barrier of subtitles and experiencing a whole world of cinema. There are some amazing foreign language films out there, ladies and gentlemen. My market doesn't get nearly enough of them, but if you get a chance to catch them on streaming or wherever else, I encourage you to do so. If you haven't seen Parasite, I know it's not a film that we've reviewed on the show. Fuzzy Dan from Shaker Not Nerd like went on and on and on about it for weeks, and I finally had to sit down and watch it, and it's a great movie. It's a great movie. It's not perfect. A lot of people are really touting it as, you know, a lot of people want to see it win Best Picture, not just Best Foreign Language Film. A lot of people want to see it win Best Picture at the Oscars. I don't necessarily know if that is in its future, but it is a fantastic film. And to kind of add a little bit to that, especially for a foreign language film, when you can convey things like comedy and make people laugh and make people cry, even though you don't understand the language, like that's a gift. I know I've not been the fan of some of his other films, like Snowpiercer. I hate Snowpiercer. I don't understand why people love it so much. Like, it's okay. It's like a five out of 10. Like, I'm not going to talk about it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going to talk about it. One of the bigger films to clean up, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, picked up Best Screenplay, Motion Picture. I really wanted Marriage Story to win there. I was pulling Marriage Story all the way, because I absolutely adored Marriage Story. It's kind of sneak preview for my best of 2019 list. I have four number one films of the year right now, like four films that are all vying for that number one spot. And I have no idea as of right now how they're all going to filter down. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is not one of them. It will probably not even make my best of the year list, as much as I did enjoy it. That whole like little montage where Tarantino narrates and does the, you know, recapping of events and everything toward the final act is just blah to me. Brad Pitt picks up Best Supporting Actor for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood as well, which is great. I mean, I can't believe that he won over both Pacino and Pesci, especially Pesci in The Irishman. I really thought Pesci might sneak it in there, or even Tom Hanks for A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, which Tom Hanks got honored with the Cecil B. DeMille Award, and he gave an amazing speech. I absolutely love Tom Hanks. And Ellen DeGeneres got the Carol Burnett Award, also gave an amazing speech about the power of television, which, you know, was absolutely wonderful. I love Ellen DeGeneres. I love Tom Hanks. And two of the easy highlights of the night for me. Laura Dern picked up Best Supporting Actress for Marriage Story. Marriage Story's sole win, but I was super, super thrilled to see it pick up some love there. She was amazing in the film, and I just absolutely adore Laura Dern. So anytime I get to see her hold an award statue, I love it. A film I did not get to see, unfortunately, and this is going to become a theme as we get further into the list, Awkwafina picked up Best Actress in a Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy for The Farewell. Never opened here, but I know our very own God of Podcasting has seen the film.
Oh!
Thank you, Colby. And he gave it a glowing recommendation to me. It never opened in my market, so I just haven't had a chance to catch it yet. A film that I absolutely adore, speaking of which, Jared Taylor, Destruction in Human Form. Thank you so, so, so much for the digital code for Rocket Man. Taron Egerton wins for his performance as Elton John, actor in a motion picture, musical, or comedy. This one wasn't really a surprise, even though I wanted Driver to win all the awards. Adam Driver in Marriage Story, probably my favorite performance of the year. I'd be hard-pressed to say anything against that performance. But Joaquin Phoenix picks up the win, Best Actor, Drama for Joker. Not surprising, even though, good man, like some of these acceptance speeches that are buried like way in the back half of the show. Yeah. Another film I did not get the chance to see, Best Actress in a Motion Picture Drama, Renee Zellweger as Judy Garland in Judy. I didn't see it. Did not get a chance to see it. It opened here. It was actually playing in my market, but I didn't go see it because Justin was like, it's one of those films, kind of if you think about Natalie Portman playing, you know, Jacqueline Onassis in Jackie, same thing. Like, the film itself wasn't very good, but the performance was good. And that's the way Justin kind of described that to me. So I skipped it. I do need to catch it at some point. Sam Mendes for another film that I have not seen. It opens here this week. So the day that our Best of the Decade episode drops, I will be seeing 1917 in theaters, I hope. But it picked up Best Director, Motion Picture. Now, I love Sam Mendes. Absolutely adore him. So I am super, super thrilled to see him gathering more success. Best Motion Picture, Musical or Comedy. Again, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, cleaned up. It's not going to win. And this is one of those movies, I feel. It's not going to win anything at the Oscars at all. Like, maybe Tarantino has an outside shot at Best Original Screenplay, but it's not going to win anything at the Oscars. It's not going to win Best Picture. It's not going to win any of the acting trophies, because all these categories all get kind of slammed together. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But nice to see it pick up an award there. A lot of people said that that movie really improved for them on a rewatch. So I'm kind of really intrigued by that. And of course, aside from Two Popes, which again, I have no idea what that even is. Got to check that out, though. But 1917 also picks up Best Motion Picture Drama. I am so, so excited. I absolutely cannot wait to see that movie. I can't tell you. And I know we got to see it. A huge, huge, huge thank you to Universal for allowing us to sponsor an advanced screening of the film in December, which Justin got to attend and got to see the film. He has already told me that he is pretty sure that that film is going to be on my top 10 of the year, if not in the top of that list. And I'm a big sucker for war movies. I love Sam Mendes and Roger Deakins shooting that movie. Just everything that I've heard about that movie really, I mean, it's going to have to try really hard to not impress me for as excited and as kind of crazy I'm anticipating it. That's pretty much all of your movie stuff. Of course, we don't cover television on the Epic Film Guys, but Succession won big, and I'm kind of intrigued. I saw a bunch of trailers for it earlier this year, but I never ended up actually checking it out. It does seem pretty interesting, so maybe that's a series I'm going to have to spin in one of these days. But that's pretty much it. That was the Golden Globes 2020. And I mean, I remarked about it over on Twitter, and award season is my Super Bowl, like, especially the Oscars. Like, I love the Oscars and I love talking about awards and everything, but I just haven't this year. This has been kind of a really weird transitional year for me, especially as far as awards go. It's something that my wife and I used to do together all the time. Like, that was one of those things where we would make a whole bunch of snacks. We would have like a whole spread out on our coffee table, get a bunch of champagne, and like all through the night, like talking about the awards, talking about who's wearing what, eating all the snacks and everything. And like, I made some fries in my air fryer and I just sat here and watched the show by myself. So it was a little bit of a different experience for me. So I guess maybe that might have muted a lot of my excitement that I otherwise would have had for the ceremony. But overall, it wasn't bad. Overall, I just wasn't all that excited for it. I just wasn't all that keen about it. Like, I just wasn't like crazy excited or anything to check it out. I don't know. I really don't know. It just wasn't anything that was on my radar this year. And a lot of it is a lot of frustration with my market and things like that. Like, well, I mean, to kind of put it bluntly, like, 1917 winning, you know, Best Drama and Best Director, that's great. That's an amazing accomplishment. Congratulations to Sam Mendes and the whole team that made that film. But most of the people haven't seen it yet. Most of the country hasn't seen it yet, because you did a limited, tiny baby rollout. And then there was a limited engagement on Christmas, and everybody else gets to see it this week. So it's just really kind of frustrating that, you know, the Best Picture is like, well, nobody's seen it. It's one of those things where there's this disconnect between award shows and like the kind of common moviegoer, which, being in my market, I'm not a common moviegoer. Like, I'm not a general audience member. I don't consider myself a member of the GA, but I at least live in a kind of GA market where I get major releases. Every once in a while, I'll get something that's like, ooh, I got to go see that or whatever. But like, tickets, 1917, there aren't even tickets on sale for it here yet. Like, my theater doesn't update their listings until like Tuesday. The only thing I could buy tickets for is Rise of Skywalker, which, oh my Lord. I know we're going to be looking forward to the Oscars. Once the Oscar nominations are announced, I will probably, hopefully, start to get a little bit more excited, and we may just have a little something in the works, ladies and gentlemen, coming up for the Oscars in February. I'm super, super excited to think about it, to talk about it, and potentially have a little bit of a party. So who knows? But Marriage Story obviously was probably the biggest thing that I missed out on this year. And where was The Lighthouse? Where was The Lighthouse? Willem Dafoe, Robert Pattinson, no discussion whatsoever. I mean, is it because it's a horror film? Is it one of those things where it just didn't get looked at because it's a horror film? We got to ignore the amazing performances that Pattinson and Dafoe gave in that film. I'm just, you know, I don't. These award shows, these awards types. And that's another one of those things where it's dialed a lot of frustration in with me because I just don't. Like, I like award shows and I like, you know, seeing all these people in these amazing outfits and everything and whatever. But at the same time, it's like they clearly overlook some things in favor of other things. And it's just, it's one of those really, really big frustrations. So, yeah, that's my takeaway, though, is Marriage Story. I really, really, really hope that it can pick up some steam heading into the Oscars. I really want to see either ScarJo or Driver or both in a perfect world walk away with some statues. Baumbach, I'd love to see walk away with Best Original Screenplay. I don't want to see Tarantino win another Oscar. I mean, I love Tarantino. I love his movies. I had my issues with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but it is a good movie still. I did still recommend it. It's just I really, really want to see Marriage Story, especially the performances in Marriage Story, really, really pick up something. But Laura Dern probably is an easy pick or an easy favorite to take that statue as well going down the road. I don't know, but 1917, I'm very, very excited for. A couple of other things really, really quick to mention. They mentioned it a number of times during the ceremony as well. I kind of liked what Phoenix said about the wildfires in Australia and things like that and how we've got to do more. And he's talking about, you know, of course they're rich and they get to take private jets and do all that kind of stuff. But the Epic Film guys are proud. Paul from the Countdown, you know, of course they're in Australia, they're in Perth, and they did their PG-13 and they did their G-rated episodes with everything that they did getting donated to help the wildfires. And now like that news has gotten even so much bigger since then, but the Epic Film guys are going to be contributing our December and January Patreon charity money. We donate 10% of what we get on Patreon every single month to charity. Both months are going to be going to help with the relief for the Australian bushfires, as well as our Worst of the Decade episode, for which we are going to be donating every time we swear, because we're going to do a PG style show in the vein of what the Countdown did. So anytime we swear, I got to talk about Live by Night without swearing. That'll never happen. So expect to see a few dollars dropped in that bucket as well. And we're really, really thrilled. It's a very, very serious thing that's going on out there in the world right now. So please, if you can, just take a moment, donate whatever you can do to try to help the devastating bushfires down in Australia. And of course, our thoughts are with all of our amazing podcast friends that live down there in Australia, especially those who are closer to the fires and those who are, you know, being most affected by it, and all the wildlife, all the animals. It's so tragic how many, you know, different species are all just getting just decimated because these bushfires are just absolutely raging across Australia. So I really, really hope, with all the relief and all the support and as much traction as this is kind of picking up now, I really, really hope that they're able to do some good and they're able to stop the spread of the fires, you know, before it gets any worse. So again, best of the year, best of 2019 is going to be the Thursday episode. I got a chance to see Uncut Gems and Little Women. I'm super, super excited to talk about those a little bit. Justin already told me that Uncut Gems will almost certainly be on his top 10 of the year list. I guarantee you it will not be on mine. I am going to barely pass the film. And I, you know, got in talks with Kev Brackett and the In Session Film guys and everybody over on Twitter. Everybody in film Twitter seems to be absolutely dying over Sandler's performance. I feel like Sandler's performance is Sandler trying really hard to act noticeably. Very, very noticeably. So it plays very, very poorly for me. It's like, I love it when an actor can disappear into a role, and he does disappear into Howard in Uncut Gems here and there. He really, really does. But it's just not, it's some scenes, it's just like, it's really him just trying, like almost like overdoing it. Like he's almost overdoing a scene, you know, trying to like overcompensate for it. I was glad to see that he wasn't nominated for Uncut Gems. I can't believe that people are all over this performance and all over this film as if it's some kind of revelation. Barely going to pass the film. I don't know if we'll get a chance to talk about it a little bit more. I'm sure we will when Justin mentions it, because I will bring this up once again. And the other film I got a chance to see was Little Women, which is, I mean, to not see Greta Gerwig somewhere in that conversation for Best Director is criminal. She directs the absolute shit out of that movie. It switches back and forth between two timelines seamlessly. The only real transition is just there's more of a color drench. It's more sepia toned and it's more muted. It's more grayscale in the present day stuff. And Saoirse Ronan is amazing in the film. Emma Watson, Florence Pugh is also amazing in the film. Timothy Chalamet, great in the film. Although the weirdest thing, the absolute weirdest thing, because I associate Bob Odenkirk so, so much with Saul Goodman in Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, that when Saul Goodman shows up in a fucking period piece, I'm like, what? It's so weird. Laura Dern, also absolutely incredible in that film. It literally ripped my heart out when I watched it in the theater. I've got a lot more to say about that film, but I want to give Justin and I don't know if Lois saw it or not. I really don't know if Lois saw it or not, but I want to give both of them a chance to see it so we can actually maybe do a more proper review of that film. Same with Uncut Gems. I want to have more proper review of that film. But if you go see any film that's out right now, obviously until 1917 opens, go see Little Women. It is incredible. Incredible. Like I said, criminal that Gerwig is not anywhere in that conversation. I think Saoirse Ronan was the only thing that was even nominated from Little Women, which again is just why? Like, I just don't get it. Like, just absolutely, absolutely amazing. So I've rambled on long enough, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know how I even managed. I'm at 24 minutes on this recording. I don't even know how I got that far. I don't know how this happens, ladies and gentlemen, but I love you. We appreciate so much everybody out there that supports the show, that listens to the show. Do not forget Epic Film Guys Fitness Challenge, EFG Fitness Challenge. Every day that you check in, you get a ticket that we're going to put toward prizes at the end of the month. EFG swag, all sorts of fun stuff we're going to be giving away. So get over in the Hopester's Dumpster, facebook.com/groups/Epic Film Guys, or just go to the Facebook page, follow the link there, get in there, take the challenge, drop the sugar, #dropthesugar, and get fit. Spend 30 days or more exercising every day. Check your activities in over there. Let us know what you're doing to get yourself in good shape. Take care of yourselves, ladies and gentlemen. Please, please, please make the right choices. Take care of yourselves, because people love you. People love you, and they want you to be here. Okay? Also, live stream for The Cure. I am actively planning, as of right now, 52 hours technically, but I'm still only calling it a 48-hour event. It's going to have a kickoff party. Kickoff on Wednesday, the 27th of May from 6 to 10 p.m. That's going to be kind of our final test for streaming, for all of our setups, for all of our settings, everything. Make sure everything is working properly. I'm going to try to get a couple of good guests lined up for that. And then the main event, ladies and gentlemen, 48 hours. We're going to be live 10 a.m. to midnight, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then Sunday, we're going to be live 10 to 4 p.m., 48 hours to raise $10,000 for the Cancer Research Institute. I really, really hope you will mark your calendars, start saving those pennies, because we are going for our biggest and best goal yet. I'm going to start reaching out. If you're a podcast and you're listening to this and you want to be involved, hang tight. I'm going to be reaching out over the course of this week and next week, start getting all those ducks in a row, as it were, and kind of start putting together everything for the live stream for The Cure. So that way you can get involved and we can help make this the biggest and best year for that event ever, ever. So thank you so, so much out there, everybody, for listening. Stay tuned again for Thursday, Best of 2019. Cannot wait to sit down and record that with Justin and the Sauce. For myself, for our beloved God of Podcasting, who we miss absolutely dearly. Oh. Yes, Colby.
Now you're going to die.
Wow. Oh, jeez. And, of course, for Justin.
Eddie's going to spank you with the belt now.
And for myself, thank you all so, so much, everybody out there, for listening. Until next time, we will see you at the movies.